Public universities in California may soon be required to provide medication abortions on campus. Under the bill, SB 24, passed last week, 34 campus health centers would distribute the pills used to induce an abortion early in a pregnancy to students who want to end those pregnancies. The governor is expected to sign it, and if it becomes law, it would be the first of its kind in the country. And we're going to hear two different views on this issue, starting with California State Senator Connie Leyva, who is the author of the bill. Welcome, State Senator Leyva.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And first, I want you to explain a medication abortion. It often consists of two pills taken usually in the first trimester, and they could be taken at home. I'd like to know how it would work, how these pills would be available to students and health centers right on the campus.
So students would be able to go to their health center on campus. It's very important that a sonogram is done because you can only have a medicated abortion if you're 10 weeks pregnant or less. So they would have the sonogram done. They would be administered the pills. They would take two, and then I think it's about 12 hours later, they take another one, and then they come back for a follow-up after that.
What made you write this bill? As it currently stands, students can get a medication abortion, but it would be at a healthcare provider off campus. Why do you think it should be on campus?
Well, I think that access is incredibly important, and you have a constitutional right to abortion, but if you don't have access, then you really have no right at all. And we were approached by some students at Berkeley who had actually gone to their administration and asked them if they could provide that medication abortion at their health center. And when they were denied, they came to me and our team and asked if we would carry legislation, and I was more than happy to do that.
Can you share some of the stories some of those students shared with you?
Yes. Oh, the students were wonderful. And the ones that came and talked to us and testified in committee talked about, you know, having to miss class, having to find a ride or a way to an off-campus provider to obtain a medicated abortion. One of the stories that stands out most to me is the young woman who had to wait so long that she couldn't have a medicated abortion. She then had to have a surgical abortion. So this is just truly about access for students.
Okay, I want to quickly address a few concerns that
Sure.
the anti-abortion rights groups have brought up first, and this is kind of graphic, but they're concerned that if students go back to a dorm after taking a medication abortion pills, they may start bleeding a lot or going through intense pain. There may be safety issues. What do you say to those concerns?
It would be absolutely no different if the student obtained the pills off campus and came back to the dorm room, or they obtained the pills right there on campus. The mm-hmm. procedure is going to proceed exactly the same.
Another concern that they have is that they're wondering where all of the money will come from for this. They don't want to see student fees be a part of paying for abortion pills. Where would the funding come from?
So we have a coalition of private funders that will give each campus $200,000 to make sure they are up and running and ready to go. Each university system, CSU, UC, will receive an additional $200,000 if they need to do, like, they want to do a hotline or something like that. So the money will be there.
There's no doubt that there'll be challenges to this bill. Anti-abortion groups have promised to do that if the governor signs it into law. Do you think this will stand up to legal challenges?
Oh, 100%. And I wouldn't expect the anti-abortion groups to say anything different. You know, what we've seen happen across the country with women's rights, with the Trump administration and these conservative judges, we just see a rollback in women's access to women's rights to have an abortion. In California, we have been a leader, and we need to continue to be a leader on this and so many other things.
That's my next question for you, because this comes after several states have passed incredibly strict anti-abortion laws aimed at making it to the Supreme Court and overturning Roe versus Wade. Where do you see this bill sitting in maybe the tornado of all of this happening at once?
I hope that this bill gives other states hope. I hope this bill lets other states know that California has not given up on women's access to having a legal abortion. I think what so many people don't understand is that if Roe v. Wade were overturned, if women don't have access to an abortion, it doesn't mean that women won't still have abortions. It just means that women will die.
California State Senator Connie Leyva, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
We now turn to Kristen Hawkins. She's president of Students for Life, an anti-abortion group against the bill. She joins us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kristen, welcome.
Thanks for having me today.
Students for Life, of course, is against abortions, but I'd love to talk with you a little bit about the legal basis for challenging this bill if it becomes law.
Well, what we're seeing here in California is that they're making an expensive and very dangerous choice. And what we've seen before with other lawsuits that have gone to the Supreme Court, the conscience rights of those workers at the healthcare, you know, centers at college campuses and the conscience rights of students, they matter.
Can you explain a little bit about conscience rights, what that is exactly?
Sure. I mean, the Supreme Court found in an earlier case with California, you know, a couple years ago, California passed a law that was going to infringe upon the First Amendment and conscience rights of pregnancy centers in the state. The Supreme Court handed down the victory to the pro-life movement, saying, in fact, that the state of California could not force, you know, a pro-life person to refer for abortions. This is exactly what we're seeing with SB 24 again, where the workers, the healthcare workers who are working there at the UC and CSU campus health centers are going to now become abortion facility workers, not a job that they signed up for.
Kristen, if I read this correctly, what this bill is proposing is that students that have already been, have gone through a pregnancy test and have already gone to the doctor, then the doctor on campus right now would give them then a referral to go to a doctor off campus to then have a medication abortion. So the doctors on campus, the medical providers are still part of the process. They may not be physically handing over the medication, but they're still a big part of all of this.
There's a big difference from saying there's a Planned Parenthood 5 to 7 miles from campus. If you want to have an abortion, you can go there. There's a big difference from saying that and then saying, okay, here's your abortion drug that's going to induce an abortion. There's a big difference in that.
I want to go back to the idea of conscience rights because under the federal law, essentially, if a healthcare provider refuses to perform, they have the right to refuse to perform or accommodate or assist on religious or moral grounds. There's nothing in this proposal, this law, that says that they would be mandated to do it if they did not want to, even if they work for the university.
These healthcare workers have been working in these campus centers for decades, and then to suddenly transform their campus health center into an abortion facility, it's fundamentally altering what they're about and what their campus health center has been about, which has been providing care, preventative care, to help their students be healthy and successful on the campus. Turning these campus health centers into an abortion facilities is a direct violation of that.
We just learned this week that the overall rate of abortion is historically low right now, in part because of wider access to birth control. Why not focus on reducing abortions by continuing to improve access to birth control? Why is this a particular part of your fight?
I would say the rate of abortions in our country continues to decline because Americans are continually being educated about what abortion actually is and that the violent destruction of a unique whole living human being.
Well, actually, the most recent study that came out found that access to birth control is one of the bigger reasons why women are not seeking abortions. But back to the bill, the governor of California is expected to sign it. What's your next course of action?
Well, you know, we'll see if Governor Newsom signs this bill into law. If he does, we will continue to fight. And we'll also be educating those workers, healthcare workers there in the facilities, campus healthcare facilities, about their conscience rights. We're working with students across the country in other states such as Massachusetts, who are already, you know, paying very close attention to what's happening in California and considering proposing bills of their own. So we'll be fighting this in states across the nation as the abortion industry continues this new wave of transforming their model, moving from brick and mortar abortion facilities into making abortion something available on every public school campus.
Kristen Hawkins is president of Students for Life, opposed to a new bill in California that would offer medication abortions at all of the state's public universities. Thank you very much, Kristen.
Thank you for having me.